Today finds us continuing in our sermon series in Philippians chapter 3. I love this portion of Scripture. We come to the very heart of the Apostle Paul. And I want what Paul had. I want to serve the Lord. I want to be faithful. I want to have the joy that Paul had. I want to be able to sing hymns at midnight. I want to be used by God. And here in Philippians 3, through the Scripture that Paul writes, we receive truths that can transform our lives, that can shape us into the kind of person that can experience the victorious Christian life that Paul lived. The Christian life is to be an exciting adventure. It should just be an amazing thrill to get up each and every day serving the living God of the universe, to experience the truths that we see in the pages of the New Testament Scripture, to have God dwelling with us, to have His Word richly dwelling in our lives, to know that our hairs are numbered, that He has a course marked out for us, that He has good works prepared in advance for us to walk in. All of those truths should shape your very existence and should exhilarate you day in and day out. And as I read this portion of Scripture, I see Paul having that kind of an outlook. Now, Paul's going to talk about pressing on here. Keep in mind that he pens this while under arrest in Rome, and still he says, I'm pressing on, I'm pressing on. Keep in mind that he pens this after about 30 years of serving the Lord the way Paul served the Lord. 30 years of traveling about, facing shipwrecks, imprisonments, beating, hunger, thirst, bandits, establishing churches, proclaiming the gospel, being stoned, left for dead, being prayed over, getting up, going back into town to finish the third part of the sermon. There was a saying in the late 60s, early 70s, keep on keeping on. And its close relative, keep on trucking. But that's the picture of the Christian life. Go for it. I don't know. I've had this in me in a variety of ways. When I took up a sport, I would want to work at it and learn how to do it and get better at it. When I took up typing keyboard a few years back, I pounded the old side of the table a few times when the keys weren't acting the way they should have. There's a sense of going for it. And that's what I want you to catch here, because that's the truth of Scripture. And that's how God would have His people to be. So if you'll take the handout from your bulletin, you'll see that the title of today's sermon is How to Keep Pressing On. And we'll be looking at Philippians 3, verses 12 to 16. Five verses, five key points. Verse 12 tells us to press on, knowing there's more to obtain. Press on because there's more out there. God intends for you to experience more. Secondly, verse 13, press on, forgetting what is behind. And in each one of these situations, you can think of people who miss out. They don't press on. They think they've already arrived, or they're comfortable where they're at. They're not pressing on to attain more. There are others who don't press on because they're stuck in the past, and it chains them. Verse 14, the third point, press on to win the prize. There's a goal. There is a race. We should be striving. We should be going for it. And there are rewards at the end of it all. Some lose sight of that. Verse 15, the fourth point, press on, knowing God will clarify things. Sometimes people get upset. They think differently on some points, and they get offended with the church or the pastor or this or that person, and they start to toss in the towel in the Christian life because now they found some excuse. No, press on. And if you think differently about some points, God will make that clear. And finally, verse 16, press on living up to what you've already attained. Don't backslide. I'm at the age in life, past that age in life, where you start to see things deteriorate. The strength goes, the endurance, the eyesight, everything, it starts to go downhill. But you know, that's not the way Christ made our spiritual life. That's how He made us physically. to point out that the things of this world are to fade away. But spiritually, we can increase and mature continually, and that's what he intends for us until the day we see him face to face. Let that be our experience. So let's learn how to keep pressing on. Philippians 3, verse 12. Press on, knowing there's more to obtain. This is the carrot that's out there in front. This is that carrot that's dangling that you keep going after. Kids don't look too thrilled about carrots. Okay. Listen to verse 12. And again, keep in mind, this is the Apostle Paul writing this after what he's endured for the past three decades in serving the Lord and being used by God to write Scripture itself. Paul in verse 12 says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Paul has a sense that there's more out there. And you see at the end of that verse, the sense of purpose. Paul says, there's a reason Christ Jesus took hold of me. And I want to take hold of that reason for which Christ took hold of me. I want to be all that I can be in Christ. I want to see what he's going to do and make of my life and how he's going to use me. There's so much out there to obtain, to experience, to incorporate in your life. And you need to go for it. You need to have that sense that it's out there. There's more to obtain. And then Paul mentions the word perfect. I've not already been made perfect. And yet that is the goal. Matthew 5:48, Sermon on the Mount. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And that's the goal that we can keep improving, going after. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be satisfied. As you go for this, as you press on, you'll see the Lord bringing more and more into your life. And again, as the physical fades away, the spiritual grows and takes over and becomes a sweet sense, a source of joy and encouragement. 2 Peter 1 speaks to this matter of there's more out there to obtain. 2 Peter 1, listen to verses 3 to 5. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. The Lord has made it all available, everything we need for life and godliness, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. You may become more and more Christ-like and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You can overcome those sinful desires that you see at work in your life. And you can participate in the divine nature. Those precious promises are out there. And verse 5 concludes, for this very reason, because these things are available, make every effort. Make every effort to add to your faith. Make every effort to press on. There's a list there in 2 Peter 1. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness love. Keep going after all these things. And then it says in verse 8, for if you possess these things in increasing measure, that will keep you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in your Christian life. Otherwise you will become ineffective and unproductive. When you stop pressing on, when you stop gathering these things in increasing measure. Let's catch this vision. Let's learn how to keep pressing on. The first point is that we know there's always more out there to obtain, that we've never arrived, and yet the goal is to be perfect, to draw nearer and nearer to Christ's own likeness. The minute you become satisfied, that's the grave of achievement. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, Amos wrote. Secondly, let's move to verse 13 and catch a very important point, especially given the philosophy of our day and age. Press on, forgetting what is behind. Now, we're not to forget our God. We're to be reminded constantly of who He is and what He has done. And we celebrate communion in remembrance of Him. But there is a sense in which to continue to press on, you do need to forget what is behind in two aspects. You need to forget your past sins and shortcomings and failures. And you need to forget perhaps some sins that have been committed against you in the past. Verse 13, brothers, and with that Paul would call us right alongside of him. Brothers, and again he repeats, I do not consider myself yet to take hold of it, but one thing I do, and here it is, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, Paul states he presses on. That straining towards what is ahead is an athletic picture. And you know Paul saw some Olympic races in his day. And the picture is of giving it all you got to hit that finish line. He's going to talk more about that coming up. But verse 13 says, one thing I do, and it has to do with pressing on, but he says, forgetting what is behind. Now, at this point, you have to make a decision. Are you going to believe Scripture? Are you going to walk in obedience to this command? Or are you going to go with the popular thought of our day and age? And that is, if there's trouble, if you want to move on in your life, you've got to first go back and wallow in the garbage, seeing what's in the past, what happened. Examine it closely. Look for clues. Now, I want you to think about something here. What did Paul have in his past? In the book of Acts, we find that with the stoning of Stephen, they laid their cloaks at Paul's feet. And he was there cheering them on as the rocks crushed Stephen's skull. And that's what Paul was carrying around in his past. And then the book of Acts tells us that Paul went about to destroy the church. And interestingly enough, the text says time and time again, he went about arresting men and women. Now picture the scene. He'd bring temple guards, he'd come, surround a house, break down the door, go inside and drag mom and dad away from probably screaming, crying kids. And he arrested them and voted for their death. And did he see some other stones crushing some other heads? Paul used to destroy Christians. That's what he had in his past. Do you think he ever woke up with some nightmares concerning that? But he says, forgetting what is behind, he presses on. Now, if Paul can do that, we can do it. And we need to do it in two specific areas. You think back on your own sins and shortcomings. You need to hand that to the Lord. Cast your cares on Him. He has forgiven those things. That's why He died on a cross. And there's nothing in your past that can't be forgiven. Again, think of the example of Paul. Secondly, some are held up in their Christian progress because of offenses in the past. Someone's offended them. Or, perhaps sadly enough, maybe there's been some real abuses. Some real tragic abuses in people's past. Well, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And in Christ, we can be forgiven of our own sins, and we can forgive as Christ has forgiven us. And with that, forgetting what is behind, we can press on. And then verse 14 brings up just one more point to keep urging us on. Press on to win the prize. Paul writes, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Do you know God knew you in your mother's womb? Do you know He knit you together? All your days were ordained before one of them came to be? Do you know you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, created to do good works which He has prepared in advance for you? Do you know there's a race marked out for you? And again, The terms here are very much concerning the athletic arena. Paul says, I press on, and he brings up two things, toward the goal, and then he says, to win the prize. And he sort of summarized all this saying, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's why God saved Paul, to do these things, these good works, to run that race that God has for him. The goal, that's a picture of the finish line. I used to run some cross country in my day, and I tell you, you'd head up over the hill and make a bend and go into the woods, and you'd be running around and getting tired, and you didn't know how much further, and you'd sort of hold back maybe just a little bit. And finally, you'd come out of the woods and make another turn, and all of a sudden, you'd see up ahead the chute, the tape across it. Sometimes there was a banner, finish line. And when you could see that goal, it encouraged you. Have you gotten your eyes off the goal? Each day, are you running that race? And after you break the tape of that goal, then there's the awards ceremony. Is it going to be gold, silver, or bronze? That's what Paul's referring to when he says, I press on towards the goal. Paul wants to live each and every day of his life completing the good works God has planned for that day. And he wants to put year, upon month, upon... I said it wrong. Day upon day, month upon month, year upon year, until the Lord calls him. And at that point, Paul wants to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things? Come, share in your master's happiness. And there's a sense of rewards. Paul never lost this. When he writes 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says this in verses 6 to 8. And here, he's writing from a Roman dungeon, shortly to be beheaded. And he states, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. A beautiful word in the Greek, departure. It'd be used in our day of a cruise ship setting off. That's what he's writing from this dungeon. And then he states, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. That was the goal. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And here's the prize, verse 8. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And then he includes us. Not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do you have that sense that what you're doing day by day here is accomplishing great things? Is earning you rewards in heaven? Press on to win that prize. Then we come to verse 15, and this is so important. As I examined each of these truths this week, I had come to mind people, not specific individuals, but just sort of general types that you know are around in each church, general types that have sort of tripped up on each point here. On the first point, there are some who think they know it all, they've achieved it all, they've done their part, they're not pressing on, there's no more to obtain. They've sort of, you know, retired from the Christian walk in their faulty assumptions. Others, again, the past is the problem. They can't get over the past, and so they're not pressing on. Others have no sense of the prize and the goal that God wants to accomplish things with them. They just don't have that picture, and they're not pressing on. But then in verse 15, there are some who think differently. And it's these points that they're thinking differently on. It can be the color of the carpet. They've never quite agreed with it, and yet the church voted, and there it sits, and day after day, when they come into church, it bugs them. And after a while, some of these kind of people quit coming. Listen to this, verse 15. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, and the text there is actually saying, and on some points you're not quite mature. You're thinking immaturely. If on some points you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. And the truth of the matter is, we won't always see eye to eye on lots of things. And in a church, there'll be decisions made. And some will be offended. They'll think they haven't been heard because the decision wasn't the one they want. And no matter how many times they were heard, in the end, if the color of the carpet still turns out to be differently than what they wanted, it seems to bug them and hold them up. There are so many areas that this comes into play on. And to me, this was the verse that sort of started to really stand out in many ways. The others are real clear points. But again, I started to think in churches of people who are just upset by these decisions. And they think differently on certain things. And God would just say to them, get over it. Keep pressing on. Don't let those things hold you up. Press on, knowing God will clarify things. This might refer to decisions made in the church. It could refer to points of theology. There are some people who, you know, are pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, concerning the rapture and such things. And again, some people get into arguments on those matters, and that sort of affects their Christian walk. Be mature. All who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, know that God will make that clear. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13:12, a good verse for us to consider at this time. 1 Corinthians 13:12 has Paul saying, now we see but a poor reflection. We see dimly now. It's not quite clear. They didn't have good mirrors in those days. It would be a polished surface and it would be a little distorted. Then he goes, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. If there's some point of theology, some doctrine, some passage of scripture, some decision that's been made, some controversy, God will clarify all those things. But let's press on. Let's take a mature view and follow Paul's example here. Finally, verse 16. Press on, living up to what you've already obtained. Again, has reference back to verse 15, perhaps on theological points, you don't understand everything. Well, you know what? I'm not that concerned these days about what I don't understand about Scripture. What I understand gives me enough to occupy my time. I believe it was Mark Twain that said, I'm not so concerned about the things I don't understand in Scripture, it's the things I do understand that sort of trouble me. And he wasn't a believer by any stretch of the imagination. Verse 16, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Stated in the negative, don't backslide. When God has spoken to you in a sermon, in a passage, in a Sunday school, and he's touched your heart, and you said, you know, I'm going to change this in my life, I'm going to move on, I'm going to do this, and then it sort of dissipates, and a month later, you're back to the same old, same old. You haven't lived up to what you've learned. This can be deceptive. James warns about it in chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. It can be very deceptive to be where the word is being presented. Just hearing it makes you think like you're accomplishing all these things. Do what it says. In verse 25 of James 1 has this beautiful picture. It says, the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. One thing, Paul says he does. One thing, he keeps pressing on. He'd have 1,000 excuses to quit anytime he wanted. Paul could have tossed in the towel for a number of reasons. Remember early in this epistle, there were some preaching the gospel, and at the same time they were slamming Paul. And Paul said, what does it matter? He keeps pressing on. This is how to keep pressing on. I do want what Paul had, and I want it for every one of you too. Press on, first of all, knowing there's always more to obtain. Knowing that the Christian life should consist constantly of maturing, possessing things in ever-increasing measure. Secondly, press on forgetting the past. Let the Lord clean the slate. And if it ever comes to mind, which our quirky human nature, I think it's part of our fallenness, seems to delight in, bringing up these past things, forget it. That doesn't mean it'll never come to mind, but it means you do not live now with that influencing you. If it's your own shortcomings, know that Christ has forgiven that. If it's somebody else's sins against you, you can forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Press on forgetting what is behind. Thirdly, press on to win the prize. There's a goal. Each day you're in this race. fight the good fight, round after round. They've been showing them Rocky movies lately too on TV. Just keep going for it. That's the picture. And in the end, there are rewards in heaven awaiting you. Fourthly, press on, knowing that God will clarify things. Points of theology, past decisions, whatever you're thinking differently on, not too sure on, just continue on. The Lord will make these things clear as you continue pressing on. And finally, press on, living up to what you've already obtained. There are clear commands. There are truths that we are aware of, that the Lord is speaking to us through His Spirit to live up to. Let those things occupy our time, and let's keep on keeping on. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you've created us, and for those of us who know Christ, have handed our lives to Him, you've taken hold of us, Lord. And you've taken hold of us to accomplish your purposes. And you state clearly in your word right now, you're working all things out for good for those who obey you, who love you, who walk in obedience to your command. And you're working them out to achieve your purposes. Help us, Lord, to get our eyes off our own purposes, our own preferences. Help us, Lord, to truly be pressing on. We hunger and seek after knowing you and having you take over our lives to a greater and greater degree. We want to experience all that you have for us, Lord. And corporately, we want to be a body of believers here, Lord, doing your will, furthering your kingdom. Take these truths now, Lord, this living, active word of yours. Put it into our hearts. Change us, transform us, strengthen us, and help us to live up to these truths in the days ahead. And we pray all of this for your glory and in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Please rise for the benediction. From Psalm 54, may God be your help. May the Lord be the one who sustains you. May evil recoil and the Lord deliver you from all troubles. Blessed be the name of the Lord, now and forever. Amen.